Here it is. It's about 5 p.m. on February 23rd. It is a Wednesday. Actually heading over to my sister's house right now. My brother-in-law is out of town, and she needs me to babysit the girls while she goes to a Funko game with my girlfriend. So anyway, I'm going there to babysit the girls, and I'm actually using a different headset. I'm hoping that the clarity will be a little bit better on this one. I was listening to some of my other podcasts, and I noticed that the audio quality isn't the greatest. So I do apologize for those listening, and I hope to get that fixed. But I'm talking actually on a Samsung headset using a Samsung phone, so they should have better compatibility. And this headset supposedly has noise cancellation. So driving in the car right now, and hopefully when I listen back to this, I won't hear anything. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. And you hear any background noise? I mean, obviously I still want my voice to be heard. Anyway, just driving down to Sherwood where my sister lives, and it's turning out to be a very interesting day. The forecast said it was supposed to snow today, and they said I heard 1 to 2 inches. The other place I heard 2 to 6 inches. But anyway, we're supposed to get at least an inch of snow, and as I'm driving now, we don't have any. It said that the majority of the snowfall is supposed to come between 5 and 6, or at least after 5 o'clock. It's now 5 o'clock, and it's only partly cloudy, maybe half cloudy. So, still working on that, I guess. But anyway, I've been listening to some of my old podcasts, and like I said, audio quality... volume seemed to be okay. The audio quality wasn't the greatest, and so I hope this will fix it. And I guess I'll have to wait and find out. I was listening to this podcast I've been listening to called School Sucks Project, and it's actually very interesting. I wanted to kind of mention it a little bit here. I think I might have mentioned it before. Can't remember off the top of my head, but very interesting podcast because the gentleman who runs the podcast, used to be a school teacher, and he's since got out of the business and is basically working towards ending not just public schools, but ending government-run schools is the way you need to kind of see it. There's obviously nothing wrong with education. In fact, education, of course, is very important. Knowledge is important. But the fact of the matter is the way that we teach children these days is centuries-old technology, centuries-old thinking. You know, we wouldn't go to the doctor and expect them to give us leeches and try to fix our problem. You know, nowadays we know, okay, leeches, getting people to drain their blood might fix some of the problems, but it creates all new ones if that really wasn't the problem to begin with. And obviously with the advancements that we have in medicine and technology and all those things, very difficult to say, well, we should be using the same technology or the same advancements we used 100 years ago. I mean, the only thing you can really imagine is maybe the automobile. You know, that was invented 100 years ago, but it's changed vastly since it was originally created. But the point I'm bringing up, though, is that the school system, and this is, of course, one that he brings up often, the school system is one that has very little change and has very little incentive to change. And I think it's important for people to realize and to remember exactly where the funding from school comes from. It doesn't matter if you have children or not. It doesn't matter if you own a home or not. You're paying for the school, the children in your area, wherever you happen to live, wherever you happen to either pay for property taxes or if you rent, actually, you're paying property taxes as well. This is a fallacy a lot of people make when, especially when it comes to voting on property tax measures and increasing property taxes. And it's very easy for people who don't own property, who are renting, to say, oh, well, you know, I don't want to pay for the school, so we'll just pass it off as a property tax increase. But you're really shooting yourself in the foot because you have to think about where the property taxes are going to come from. So, for instance, if you're in a place where you rent, say, a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom for $1,000 a month, for instance. And if the property taxes automatically all of a sudden go up, well, the person who owns that property and is renting it to you, whether it's an apartment complex or whether it's just an individual house, that person's bills have just now gone up. So if it's an apartment complex and the taxes go up, then they have to spread that new charge across all of their customers. And it would be fallacious to think that, oh, well, you know, they'll just eat that difference. You know, if it's a business that's making, you know, say they net, you know, $1 million a year, well, they'll just eat the difference. They're not going to eat the difference. They're going to have a very good excuse for raising your taxes. And if anybody checks them on it, they can easily say, well, property taxes have gone up. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, what are you going to do? If they actually admitted that to you, if you're a renter and you go to your landlord and say, why is my rent going up? He says, well, property taxes are going up. Everybody's rent's going up, right? I mean, you know, not just yours, but everybody in that building and everybody in your community who's affected by this new tax law, all of their rents are going up. All of their property taxes are increasing, so all their rents are going up. So you can move out if you want, but you're just going to move somewhere else that's going to be having an inflated price thanks to higher property taxes. But anyway, like I said, the important thing is to remember that in most states, they take property taxes, and a certain percentage of that goes to pay for the schools. And I don't know what percentage of the school funding actually comes from property taxes, but I imagine it's a pretty good chunk, considering, you know, they make quite a bit of money on that deal. And in some places, it's upwards of 50% of what you pay in property taxes goes just to the schools. But the fundamental problem, though, with the school system is this. And if you compare it to any other product or service that you buy in the market, if you're not satisfied, you either get your money back or you stop dealing with that particular individual. If you go to Walmart, I don't really pick on Walmart in particular. It's just an easy one because everybody knows Walmart. I don't know if there's a city in America that doesn't know about Walmart or even McDonald's, whatever. You know, you can fill in whatever business you want. But if you go to business A, and you decide to buy a product or service from them, and you don't like it, you say, look, I just paid for this product or service. I don't like it. If it's a product, they can easily give it back to you. If it's a service, you know, there's other means they got to say, well, we can't undo what we did, so, you know, let's make a deal or whatever. But especially if it's a product, they'll say, hey, give me the product back. We'll give you a refund. You know, I apologize for the inconvenience. And if that's the case, if it's in Walmart, for instance, you might actually go back. You might say, look, I was there before, I didn't like that product, but hey, I have nothing against the company, otherwise I'll go back and shop there again, just I won't buy that same product because I know it's no good. That's fine. And if you go to a service business, say you go get a massage somewhere, the person does a horrible job, you're like, man, that's the worst massage I've ever had. You go and you complain to management will say, look, I'm sorry, you know, can't undo what happened, but here's a voucher for, you know, a free massage or 50% off your next one or whatever. They'll make some sort of deal with you. Just say, look, that's not how we normally run business. We appreciate your business. We want more business, and we want you to tell your friends about our business. That's how every business survives. People telling their friends, hey, I went there. It's great. You should go. Business increases. Now let's compare that to the school system. The school system can be run this way, but it's not. In America, what they do is they say, look, if you're of certain age, you must go to this school. And in most places, you don't even have a choice. You can't even drive across town. You can't even take a bus across town. If you live in zip code XYZ, you got to go to this school. If you live in this area, you got to go to this school. That's usually the rule, is that certain people in this area have to go to this certain school. And they do that so they can control how many people are going to be in this school. And, you know, they know the demographics and all that sort of thing. So it's in the best interest of the government to say, look, we're going to section this all off. We're going to make everybody in this particular area go to this school, make it nice and easy. Furthermore, when it comes to education itself, we're going to make it nice and easy. We're going to make you all learn the same thing. Doesn't matter if you want to be an airline pilot, you got to learn math and biology and all that just like everybody else. Doesn't matter if you want to be a veterinarian, you got to learn geometry. And I mean, you could always argue, well, there's always some cross knowledge that's good to know and all this sort of thing. But ultimately, when the ball boils down, you end up leaving high school or middle school or however long you make it. You end up leaving school and you look back and say, what exactly did I learn? I mean, there's obvious ones that you learned reading and you learned math and you learned, you know, certain things like that. Maybe how to balance your checkbook if you're lucky. But all in all, you spend 12 years of your life going to these schools and then you said, wait a minute. What did I get out of all this, you know? I'm 18 years old, and I'm going out into the real world. I barely know what's going on out there. I spoon-fed all this information. And, you know, he mentions in his podcast, too, that there'll be students that will, in the case of, you know, global warming, for instance, he had a student who received all of the information. The teacher told him, you can't go to Google, you can't go to Wikipedia, here's all the information you need. So she literally force-fed, or I don't know if you'd say force-fed, but fed all the information to the students. Here's your information, just basically create a report, use these for your bibliography. And, of course, all the information they gave him was all saying there's no doubt about it, there's global warming. And then, to make things even better, when they get to school, the teacher says, okay, pair up with somebody who agrees with you on this case and discuss it with them for, you know, 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. So it's not find somebody that disagrees and actually have a debate and see who wins, or at least, you know, share information. It's find somebody who agrees with you and just basically preach to the choir. Makes no sense. This is not something you would get in a free market school system. It's not something you'd get if there was competition. You know, think about it. If you're a parent and your child is going to go to school and you find out, okay, there's school A and there's school B. School A force feeds all your the information to your kid. You know, kid has to wear a certain uniform. Kid can't, you know, speak out in class, has to raise his hand to use the bathroom. Versus school B. We figure out what the child wants. We teach according to what the child wants. The child is free to leave the room whenever he wants, just like in college. You know, you don't have to raise your hand. Oh, can I use the bathroom? No. There's one teacher in particular, I think it was actually Brett, the host of the School Sucks Project, was actually on another radio show. I think it was the Peter McKibben show, if I remember correctly. And the other guy was actually talking about how when he was a teacher, his rule was basically like the college rule. You know, look, you're here to learn. I'm here to teach, okay? So if you want to learn, pay attention. If you want to sit in the class and sleep, that's fine, as long as you don't disturb anybody else. If you need to get up and use the bathroom, that's fine. Don't disturb anybody else. But pretty much, you're free to do whatever you want. He highly recommends, of course, that they listen and pay attention and learn. But ultimately, it's up to that student to learn and to do whatever they want. Well, of course, in government school, that's not an option. The government school has to get certain grades, has to get certain people passed through the tests in order to get funding, in order to keep the teachers there, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, going back to the decision, you have choice A, which is basically government schools, everything's the same for everybody, no individuality, no creativity allowed, none of that, versus B, which is we figure out what you want, you get to choose what path in life you want to take, we help you ultimately get through that path, get to your final destination. We help you along the way. We treat you with respect. We allow you to come and go as you need. You're not our, you know, we're not your babysitters. You're not the child. You are, you know, depending, of course, on the age of the kid, but, you know, for the most part, you're able to take care of your own. So then you ask yourself, if you were the parent, which one would you choose for your kid if prices were the exact same, you know, they're both free, you don't have to pay for them, whatever. If you didn't have to pay anything extra for school B, would you choose school B over school A? And I think, you know, honestly, any parent who really cares about their child is going to take school B if they get the choice. But see, this is what frightens the government school system, because the government school system relies on, just like when you think about the lunchroom line going through the school, I'm not necessarily dogging on the lunchroom, but I'm just saying they treat the students just as if they're a lunchroom line throughout everything in school. You know, you can have variety in your school lunchroom, but it's so much easier if you just serve lasagna to every single child that comes through there. Oh, you're a vegetarian? Well, then you can have french fries. Oh, well, you know, you don't like, you know, lasagna? Well, then you can eat, you know, the fruit cup. You can have milk or whatever. There's no variety. There's no, you know, menu to choose from. Doesn't matter if the child comes in wanting to eat, you know, Chinese food. Doesn't matter. The point is that the government school system is set up just like this cafeteria line with one option. You can have whatever you want as long as it's lasagna. That's the old Henry Ford quote from when he was producing cars. And I remember, I'll never forget actually, the one of the quotes that he had was, you can have whatever color Model T you want as long as it's black. And I think that's exactly how government is being run right now. And it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be the fact that everything that we want has to be the same as everybody else, because obviously we all have different interests, you know? You go into an electronics store, you see all these different, even if you just want a TV, you can go into just 50 different TVs. Oh, you want this particular size? Well, there's still 10 of that size. And each one has its own little specification, and you pay a different amount depending on what TV you want exactly. Why can't the government do anything like this? Because because it's centralization, because this is exactly how government is run. Whenever you have a government in any society, they have to base they base the fact on there's only one of us, there's no competition, therefore we don't have to worry about competing with anybody else, and therefore we can serve one thing and tell everybody else, sorry, if you don't like it, you can shut up. Or, hey, you can vote on something else. You know, what good is it if you have a school system, for instance, where they serve only lasagna, and then you say, well, what about, you know, can we get burritos or Mexican food in one day? Well, let's have a vote. Who wants burritos? And so it's not going to be you cannot choose between lasagna or burritos every day. It is, okay, on Monday we're going to have lasagna, on Tuesday we're going to have burritos. On Wednesday, you know, they'll vote one thing each day. That's still not a choice. That still is limiting yourself. And this is where I talk about looking outside the box, thinking outside the box to say, look, why is it that we have lasagna for everybody? And then why is it the next day we have the same food for everybody? Why can't you open up the school, allow other businesses to come in? For instance, and they did this in my high school. You have your choice between the school cafeteria, you have Taco Bell, yeah. Well, actually, we didn't have Taco Bell. We had Taco Time or Taco Del Mar. Now, another taco thing. We had a taco place. We had Pizza Hut. We had the school. You know, we had some variety. And, of course, that made a lot more students happy. So why can't they do that? Why can't they outsource a lot more on this stuff from the school? And, of course, the bottom line is, I can't tell you for sure, but I would definitely bet that the reason the school even did that with the food is probably because enough people got upset. I don't imagine, you know, they just did it on their own accord. Because if that was the case, then they would be starting to outsource, quote-unquote, all their other jobs in that school. And really what you could use is the school as a building to encompass all these things, and then you could have different businesses come in. And I don't just mean food, I don't just mean drink. You know, I'm not just talking about major corporations. I'm talking about people can create a business that's, I'm going to teach, you know, physics to these particular group of kids. Well, instead of hiring physics teachers and working them through the school system, you can actually have physicists from NASA. You can have physicists from wherever. You can have biologists from certain companies where they can come in and they can teach like a college level type thing or a college type thing. I shouldn't say college level because it depends on the students, of course, but you can have somebody come in and teach that and outsource the work to other people instead of having all of the workers in, you know, all of the teachers in-house, having everything under the control of this school, you can outsource it. But like I said, this frightens government officials to death because they need control. The fact that they're in this job means they want control. You want a group of, you know, you want a building that holds all these students in there, of course you want control. You're not interested in, you know, making sure every student is happy on their way out. You're interested in controlling every student so that you have them all under your control so that when they leave, they know you're the boss, they're the student, and of course you don't want any violence, you don't want any back-talking, you don't want any diversification whatsoever. And I'm not saying that there should be violence or back-talking in schools. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you control it, you create a problem. And this is something that actually I was listening to one of Brett's podcasts today, and he mentioned that you take something that you like. Say, for instance, I'll go back to lasagna. Say you enjoy eating lasagna. You're eating lasagna, somebody's like, hey, that's great, you're eating lasagna. Then they put a gun to your head and they say, you got to keep eating that lasagna for 7 hours. All of a sudden, that lasagna doesn't look so good, does it? You know? Or, I remember this, a very good example, when I was in school, I would be assigned a book to read. And I'd look at this book, I'd flip it open, I'd start reading page after page, and within a few pages, I'm like, I don't even want to read this anymore. And I especially remember in college, because if I had a little bookshelf of my own at this point, you know, I accumulated some books, and I'm looking over my bookshelf, and I go, man, I'd rather read that book right now. And on numerous occasions, I catch myself opening up that other book and reading, and then having to close it and say, whoa, no, I got to focus, I got to get back to this book that I'm supposed to be reading. So the point that Brett brings up is whenever you force something on somebody, they automatically are going to dislike it. As soon as you force somebody to have to go to school, they're automatically going to dislike it. But when you open it up to them and you say, look, you have an option. You know, you can choose whatever you want to learn about. If you feel like learning about science, you can learn about science. If you want to learn about math, you can learn about math. This is what they call unschooling, is where the student actually gets to pick whatever he or she wants to learn. And in that sense, just like I said, when I was assigned a book to read, I would read the book. I was in the mood to read. I just didn't want to read that book I was assigned to. So I would look on my shelf and find something else. Well, it's the exact same thing. When you get to a certain age, I don't know how it works with the younger students, but especially with the older ones. You know, once you get to high school, a little bit, you know, maybe sophomore, junior, senior year, especially, you get to a certain point where you just say, look, I'm interested in learning right now, but I just don't want to learn what they have, what they're forcing me to learn. I mean, it may be good information to have, but just the mere fact that I'm being forced means I don't want to do it. And I think that's a very powerful statement. And what Brett would argue probably is that even if you started as early as possible, you know, I have nieces and nephews who are 4 and 5 years old, and you see their curiosity. You see them asking questions. You see them, I mean, of course, it even starts at 2 or 3 years old. Start asking why on everything. Well, why? Why? They're curious. They're interested. They want to learn all these things. And the reason he actually called it School Sucks Podcast is because the school actually sucks that creativity and that interest out of them. So they're no longer interested in those sorts of things. They are instead interested in, or not even interested, they're forced to be interested in what the school says they have to learn. And of course, starting at the earliest of ages, 4 or 5 years old, you're forcing that child to forget all the stuff that they're interested in and to learn what you're interested in them learning. That's very powerful. And I think that's his biggest point, is that we need to stop doing that. We need to get over this idea that we know what's best for these kids just because we want to be a scientist, they should be a scientist. Because we want police officers, they should be police officers. No. It should be up to them to decide. And I would definitely argue to them that it's wrong to force children to believe what we want them, or to learn what we want them to learn just because we think it's best for them. Because who knows really what's best for them?